Hello, this is Paul Bennett at Amsterdam 86, the International Conference for Itinerant Evangelists. And you are joining me on the day when the evangelists in training became evangelists in action as they went out onto the streets for a day of witness. It was the theme of the evangelist role as witnesses that dominated the seventh full day's activities here at the conference. Leighton Ford, the program chairman and chairman of the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelization, reminded participants that even when they are weak, they can have strength for the job of evangelism.
Now, you and I are like Elijah, aren't we? We can pray and we can be very high, and then we can run away and we can be terribly low. And sometimes I've found that happens to me after a big project. And when it's all over and I put so much into it, I feel low. And I thought of this staff here last night and these interpreters and the speakers who've given themselves. And especially this staff that's worked for months and months, and after Amsterdam 86, there's going to be a little letdown. We need to pray for them. But we also need to understand God has built a rhythm into us. There are high points and low points. And when we're physically tired, we need to let down.
Mr. Ford went on to share from his own experience how, in the midst of great personal difficulty, he had found God provide all he needed.
And we have another son named Sandy who's with the Lord. Sandy and I were very close. He loved Jesus. He wanted to be a preacher of the gospel. And he had a heart problem when he was 21. He had heart surgery. And unexpectedly, he died. And I can hardly tell you how it felt. Because unless you've lost a child, and some of you may have lost many, you can hardly understand what that's like. And it was as if everything inside had been sucked out of me. When I had to stand and speak, I'd say, Lord, I can't do it. But I'd stand up, and somehow he'd be there.
Mr. Ford continued,
What are you doing here, brother or sister? Are you on the mountain or under the broom tree? What are you doing here? Are you here to be restored by God? What are you doing here, evangelist or pastor who have been called by God? What are you doing here? Are you here to stand in God's presence and then to be sent forth to his work for Christ, with Christ, and to Christ? Then in all of our weakness, we who are women and men just like Elijah may be able to say, Lord, your strength is made perfect in my weakness.
Having been reminded of the strength that God had promised his people as they got on with the work that he has given them to do, participants had their attention drawn to the period of evangelism that they were to undertake on the streets and beaches around the Netherlands. Bill Bright, the president of Campus Crusade, set the tone for the afternoon's outreach, as Andrew Steele now reports.
With the Day of Witness in mind, Dr. Bright set about the task of enthusing the participants for the job of personal evangelism, and he reminded them of the reasons behind his challenge.
It is so important to witness personally of our Lord and our Savior regularly as a way of life. First, we witness personally because our Lord commands us to witness. Every believer, including evangelists, is commanded to witness. Jesus commands us, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.
Mr. Bryant reminded the traveling preachers that they should ensure that there was no sin that had not been put right with God in their lives.
Our availability to witness to others is a way of measuring our obedience to Christ. If you have no desire to witness personally for our Lord, it is quite likely that you've neglected the most important part of sharing your faith, which is the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit and maintaining your first love for the Savior. Before you speak to others, make sure that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If God brings to mind any sin, confess it to him. Thank him that he's already forgiven you when he died on the cross and shed his blood for you. And then invite the Holy Spirit to fill and empower you as an act of your will by faith. Only as we're filled with the Holy Spirit and constrained by the love of Christ Will we have the desire and the power to be fruitful witnesses for him?
The evangelists were transported all over the Netherlands in dozens of coaches to witness on the streets and beaches and highways.
Andrew Steele reporting. To judge by the expressions of gratitude and enjoyment that come from the participants, most of them are more than satisfied with the progress of Amsterdam 86 so far. But what are those responsible for organizing the event? We've been finding out what they've had to say.
I believe I'm learning the lessons of deep humility and contentment from dear brothers out of developing countries. I see their sincerity in dedication and commitment. And I find myself again and again being moved by the sense of the deep work of God, the kind of commitment that they have made to the service of the Lord. And yet, there's a purifying effect coming out of the conference. And I believe it's working in my own life, and I'm challenged anew by that.
I personally was touched again by the messages on holiness, on purity, living a life that is acceptable to God, especially now as I move out into evangelism myself as an evangelist. That meant much to me.
Well, to mention specifically my leadership of a workshop on Bible study in preparation for evangelistic preaching, I was overwhelmed by the interest, curiosity, desire for information, how to do basic evangelistic preaching. My workshop, there were two or three times the number of people trying to get into it as could get into the room, and it was a tremendous experience, overwhelming experience, to see the eagerness, not only of third world people, but people from America and England and other parts of the developed world. And it was just tremendously significant to me that these people wanted to know how to do evangelistic preaching. As far as I'm concerned personally, also, I've gotten a tremendous challenge from other evangelists. I feel, especially from the third world, they have a spirit of evangelism that we lack in many parts of the developed world or the Western world. And they're so eager to learn, and they're so evangelistic in spirit that they challenge us in the West tremendously.
The greatest thing that I've learned is that I can do all the planning and all the work I want to, but at the end of the day, it's the Lord who pulls it together. And as far as my responsibilities go, I've been impressed with that again and again. The other thing I've been benefiting from is I've deliberately tried to seek out some evangelists every day that I could get to know a little bit, and I'm trying to share with them that this is all of these arrangements and everything we've done is just for them. And to let them know that I am their host, and the whole team were part of a group of hosts that have just been waiting in anticipation for them, and now we're so thrilled to see them. And it's fun to just look at the expression on their face when they realize it's just for them.
Emmanuel.
The 8,000 participants and Emmanuel. During the week, there have been over 100 workshops which have offered practical help to the participants. Josh McDowell led one entitled The Evangelist and the Reliability of Scripture.
I was at Arizona State University. I had just finished speaking at a large outdoor rally. I walked down off the platform, and a professor came to me with 10 students from a graduate seminar. He said, "You know, you're really funny, Mr. McDowell." I said, "In what way?" I didn't know I had a lot of humor. He said, "Everything that you've been teaching on campus for 3 days comes from a book written years after the time of Jesus Christ, way into the second century. What people didn't like, they took out. What they did like, they added to the book. And then he turned to the students. He said, "I just finished teaching this to my graduate seminar. How would you answer that gentleman?" I said to him, "Sir, in love," I said, "your mentality is 25 years out of date." I said, "That's what people believed 25, 40 years ago, but not anymore because of the evidence."
Josh McDowell, one of the workshop leaders this week. After the participants had returned from their time out in towns all over the Netherlands, they had many tales to tell of contacts that they had with men and women as they shared their faith.
We were a group of 54 evangelists from 22 countries, and everybody was excited. Everybody was sharing the whole way about opportunities of sharing Christ. And then I turned to Mike, I said, "Would you permit me to share?" He said, "Please do." And I shared with the crowd, with the evangelists, about Mike receiving Christ. And they were so happy. They were rejoicing. They were clapping their hands. And on the way out, everybody was shaking hands with Mike, you know, praising the Lord with him. A guy from Ghana gave him a gift, a little vase. A guy from the States gave him a cross, said, "Remember, Jesus died for you." Another guy gave him a sticker, and there was such an excitement.
Initial reports were that at least 300 people had made commitments to Christ as a result of the personal witness of the traveling preachers, and another 700 people had suggested that they wanted to discuss things further. Even Billy Graham went out on the streets, but apparently even he was evangelized by someone who didn't recognize him.
"This has indeed been a marvelous day. Even I went out into the park, and one or two people tried to convert me."
To bring the day emphasizing the evangelist's role as a witness to an end, Dr. George Sweeting, the president of the Moody Bible Institute, encouraged the participants to cultivate what he described as a passion for souls. That passion, he said, ought to be very single-minded.
Van Gogh lived an unhappy life, which ended in suicide. His father was a pastor. At one point in life, Vincent felt called to be an evangelist. At age 24 in 1878, Van Gogh enrolled in a school for evangelism in Brussels, Belgium. After graduating, he preached for about 1 year. Then, for reasons unknown to us, Vincent Van Gogh lost his single passion for evangelism. In 1879, he began to paint like a driven man, finishing 200 paintings in 2 years' time. But at age 37, confused and sick of life, he borrowed a gun, put it to his head, pulled the trigger, and ended his life as a suicide. The Apostle Paul turned to young Timothy and warned Timothy. He said, "Stir up the gift of God that is in you." He said, "Timothy, fight the fading flame." He said, "Timothy, resist double-mindedness." Let's ask God to give us a single passion.
Dr. George Sweeting, from Amsterdam 86, this is Paul Bennett.